You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday with Wayne McCurry, who's a portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investment. Here we are, 13 days into the new year, and it already feels like I'm looking forward to Christmas, Wayne, because it's been so, so busy, so much news, and so many things to digest. Do you feel the same way?
No, I'm still actually feeling relatively relaxed. normally, the first week back at work is a little bit stressful, but I actually feel relatively relaxed this year. You know, markets aren't doing too much. But, of course, this whole U.S. story and President Trump and that is interesting, but it's not really affecting markets at the moment. It should in theory, but it's not really.
I spoke to somebody today.
What may affect markets is the U.S. long bond going up.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been talking about that a lot. It's gone from mid-December, from 0.87, 0.88%, and it went up to 1.18%. I think it was 2 days ago, and I'm just going to refresh my screen now and have a look at it. Oh, no, it's pulled back a little bit. It's 2.5% better today at 1.11. But nonetheless, it's very important. And I was speaking to a chap in London earlier on today, quite a well-known portfolio manager, and he said he's never seen such a dislocation between what is actually going on in the real world and what is going on in the financial markets. And he says something's got to give at some stage. It's a well-worn theme, Wayne, but on the other hand, this chap whose opinion I respect sort of hit home to me. So there is something happening here.
Yes, I think so. Look, I did a bit of an investigation into valuation of the markets, and let's just talk about the U.S. share market to start off with.
Yes.
The U.S. share market, the raw historic price earnings ratio is as high as what it was in 1969. So this is the highest it's been for 50 years, the raw price earnings ratio. Now, as with anything in investments, you can't just take this one line in the sand or this one data set and say, this is all encompassing, because it's not. Right. So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to say, where are earnings? Now, earnings have fallen because of the COVID and everything like that. So if you assume that earnings go back to some sort of long-term average, that ratio drops from 39, but the number in 69 in 1969 was 41, it's currently 39,
yes.
That number drops to about 32. But the average is still about 22 to 25 over time, so it's still in very expensive levels. Then the next thing you've got to do is you've got to say, right, if the average 20 to 25 is over 50 years, what's the long bond rate average over 50 years? It's significantly higher than what it is now. So when you adjust for the long bond, the market doesn't look excessively overvalued. But there's two big ifs in that statement. You're assuming that earnings will return to the long-term mean, which it probably will. So I don't think there's too much uncertainty in that. But you're making a massive assumption that the long bond will stay more or less where it is. And I think that is the true risk for share markets. It's not worrying me right now, because there's no inflation in the system. There is just no inflation at the moment. But when the labor market tightens up and the economy picks up, we could get inflation. So on a, let's call it a two-year view, you know, we might actually be in for some nasty surprise on the equity market if the long bond picks up. Now, I don't know what the level is. Maybe it's 1.5, maybe it's 1.8. But if the long bond rises and it gets to those sort of levels, watch out for shares.
It's the anticipation of whether it will go to 1.5 or 1.75 or 1.8 or 2.2%. That's the whole point. It's forward looking. So equity investors may say it's gone from 0.88 in mid-December to now 1.18, which it was a couple of days ago, now 1.11. But people are anticipating that it's going to go higher. And when you talk about inflation, Wayne, have a look at your commodity gum. Get the CRB index, the Commodity Research Bureau index, and have a look at all the commodities. Milk, corn, soybeans,
iron ore, foods specifically.
Baskets. These are the baskets.
And grains,
Exactly.
And grains specifically as
It's a shopping basket that's going up. Food inflation is going up, and that is what people do. And I spoke to somebody earlier today, and he said, well, retirees are not really spending that much because they can't go out because they're locked down at the moment. But the people that are lower income earners, they have to spend, and their basket is going up, so inflation is going up, so watch out for the bond. And I thought it was a very telling point. So I disagree with you wholeheartedly regarding inflation. I don't know what the central banks will do about it. Maybe they'll ease in order to make things better, or maybe they'll tighten with under the stewardship of Joe Biden. I don't know. But I just get a sense that there's a bit of a sea change between 2020 and 2021.
Yeah. Food inflation is cyclical. There's no question about that. And by and large, I mean, the market doesn't ignore anything, but by and large, the market watches core inflation. And in there, it watches the ability of companies to pass on costs
yes.
to consumers. And the economies are still a little bit fragile, even though they are going to recover strongly, global economies this year. They're still a little bit fragile, and the labor rate is still not good. So you've got to wait for unemployment to come down before you'll see, you know, underlying core inflation. But that is our biggest risk. That is our biggest risk.
Okay.
There's no question about that.
Are you then changing your policy for 2021? Are you carrying on as you would normally do at FNB Wealth?
No, we'll just... We are considering dropping our global equity exposure simply because of exactly what we've been talking about.
Yes.
And then we will monitor the situation. Of course, you know, it can surprise you, but I don't think it's going to surprise inflation. It's going to surprise in the next 6 months, or the long bond's going to surprise in the next 6 months. But, you know, I'm clearly highlighting the possibility of that happening.
Okay. Well, you sound fairly sanguine about what's going on. At what point might you change your stance, though? I mean, the very fact that you've said that you're changing, you may consider changing your overseas exposure is quite telling, because you haven't said that to me and I over the last year. In fact, it's been exactly the opposite. But that is quite a meaningful statement to me.
It is just the sheer extent of this is just the sheer valuation of the market, quite frankly.
Mm.
I mean, the markets, you know, this is bigger. These are big, big valuations that we're sitting with us now.
You were talking about 1969. So you were talking about 1969. Yeah. You're talking about valuations from 41 versus the 39 at the moment. What happened in 1969? Remind us. I mean, you weren't in the business then, but
inflation went up.
Yeah. And what happened to the stock market?
So you had a massive bull market. You had a massive bull market driven by property shares.
Yes.
And then interest rates and inflation went up. And it went up for the whole of the 70s. And the market did nothing. It fell in 1969. And it stayed there until 1982 when Paul Volcker took over at the American Reserve Bank. And he said, inflation is enemy number one, and we are going to beat it to death.
Mm.
And that's exactly what he did. And other than one or two mishaps along the way, that one factor in 1982 propelled the bull market in equity.
Hmm. So Mr. Volcker was the person that... I suppose he's a financial markets hero in many people's eyes, because he, as you quite rightly said, he stamped out inflation, because rising prices is the enemy. I mean, but let's face it, prices do have to rise. Prices do have to rise, otherwise earnings can't rise. So you've got to have 2.5-3% inflation, otherwise companies' earnings, if you take companies across the board.
Nominally earnings can't go up if there's no inflation. That is clearly part of the equation.
Precisely.
But if there's no inflation and you're lucky enough and the long bond is high and has the ability to fall, that, let's call it re-rating of a falling long bond, way, way swamps the reduction in nominal earnings. But where we are now, or where we were 6 months ago, the long bond at 0.8, whatever the timing is, and you have low nominal earnings growth, those two combinations is not good for the share market because, you know, it's fine. I mean, I forget the numbers now, but I think in 1982, the U.S. long bond was double digit, maybe even been 12%.
Yes.
You know, effectively, the next stop was one. Hmm. Now, when your 30-year bond rate goes from 12% to 1%, in other words, your discount rate, for want of a better word, the equity market just goes up. So it's ignored the fall off in nominal earnings growth because the inflation rate has fallen. The fall in the discount rate has, by a country mile, been more positive than the fall off in nominal earnings growth. But of course, we're starting at 0.8 now. You know, so that big, you know, what's it, 40-year bull market propellant.
Yes.
Is finished. So now maybe the tech companies can do the, can help with the earnings growth, but cannot compensate for that propellant of the long bond falling. So in other words, whatever you think of equity and whatever you think of company earnings and the prospect for company earnings and tech shares and electric vehicles and all of this, the return for the next 40 years on the market is going to be probably one third to maybe, and if you're really optimistic, one half of what the returns have been in the last 40 years on the market, because that one single factor is now off the table. And that was by far the biggest influence on share market returns, by a country mile, the biggest influence on share market returns in the last 40 years. But of course, 40 years is a seriously long time.
Yes.
But that big propellant is gone. That true driver is now finished. It's gone.
Okay. 2020 had a couple of big themes. I mean, if you're a European, you have a look at Brexit. If you're a global citizen, you look at COVID. If you're a South African, you look at all sorts of very, very different things. But do you think that the 2021 will be the same themes, Wayne, but going in slightly different directions, either more exaggerated or more diminished? What do you think?
Look, this year is going to be very different from last year. Last year we were in economic recession. This year we're in economic expansion. Now you can argue, is South Africa going to expand by 2% or 4.5%? But it's going to expand. And the world's going to do the same. Now the share market has discounted that already. So economically, this year is very different from last year.
Yes.
But the share market might also be very different. It might not do nearly as well as what it did last year, despite the big sell-off in March, April. That's gone. It's forgotten about.
Yes.
Or February, March, whenever it was. It's gone. So there's a full recovery in there. I've been thinking a lot about this now, and maybe it's just natural biasness on my side. But what happened last year in respect of the tech companies, I've just been reminiscing about the Y2K story.
Yes, that's funny, wasn't it?
Leading up to Y2K, could life have been better for the computer companies? Because they were still called computer companies yet. You didn't hear this word IT yet.
Mm.
They were just called computer companies.
Right.
Could life have been better than in the lead up to Y2K? It couldn't. Now, I was thinking about that. Could life get better, or could life be better for the tech companies than what it was last year? You had a massive surge in online sales. You had a massive surge in people using data. You had a massive surge in Zoom and MS Teams and stay at home and working online. I mean, could it have been better? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No, so I mean, is it price for perfection? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Now, the downside's limited. This ain't a dot-com bubble, eh? The downside is limited. These are proper companies with massive balance sheets and massive cash flows. But you could still get 10, 15, 20% downside. In other words, the overall environment this year for tech companies is not going to be as good as what it was last year. They cannot show the same growth rates. So last year accelerated an existing trend. But the growth rate last year won't be repeated again this year. In fact, it might even, surprisingly enough, may even fall off a little bit. It's a trend that's well in place that's not going to go anywhere. But, you know, as I said before, could life have been better for them?
Even if there's a slight change in, for example, retail spending patterns and behavior. In other words, people say, well, actually, I'm really looking forward to going and walking down the road and going to a shop that has opened, that hasn't been open for the last 6 weeks because of lockdown. Even that might affect companies like Amazon and others and the other contenders. So even when you get those first little numbers coming out, the quarterly results in the United States, for example, when they say, well, we didn't grow our revenue by 21% this quarter, whereas we did grow it by 24% the previous quarter. Everyone says, oh, wait a second, that's the first time it's fallen. So it is vulnerable to a certain change in behavior, I think.
And I mean, I know I did it. Luckily enough, it was coincidental.
Yes.
But I went and bought a new laptop for myself just before lockdown.
Yes.
But, you know, all the people sitting
at the
home,
shop, at a shop,
used to be able, you used to be able to use their cell phones and, you know, very expensive cell phone data. When lockdown happens, they had to connect up via fiber. They had to buy more equipment. So, you know, as I've said a few times now, could life have been better?
So you have to buy your own laptop. FNB Wealth and Investment doesn't buy it for you.
No. I've got an FNB Wealth one, but I went and bought my own one that I can keep all my...
Your what?
Invoices and photographs of motor cars and all that stuff on my own. Because I am going to retire one day.
No, you're not.
Believe it or not.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm going to retire one day. I don't want to end up like the other old Bullet Shapiro, working till the day he dies. Because he's never going to retire.
No, he's not. He's never going to die either.
That is in fact very true. He might never die.
He's like an alien. I mean, in a nice way.
He's a little bit. In a very, very nice way. He's a very nice alien.
Yes.
But yeah, that actually is a very debatable issue. I mean, will Shapiro not only ever retire, but will he ever die? I'm not sure.
I doubt it.
Like a sprightly young man of 25.
He's like a dynamo. He's one of those. It's sort of like perpetual motion when you speak to David Shapiro.
Yes.
I mean, I've been speaking to him for 20 years,
sure.
And he hasn't changed in 20 years. I don't know what his secret. Well, I do know what his secret is. He's healthy, and he's gregarious, and he loves socializing. But no, he's not going to die.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure when he goes and visits his grandchildren, they're happy when he leaves because they can relax a little bit.
Yeah. I must admit that I often feel relieved when I've stopped talking to him because he just doesn't stop. He's the epitome of perpetual motion.
So I suppose we should all be grateful that he has got so much energy and he'll never retire.
Mm.
Because if he does, then it'll just be so much more work for us to do.
Yeah.
Because the nice thing about Shapiro, you know, I've gone on plenty of tours around the country with Shapiro and presentations and met clients and that. The nice thing with Shapiro, you can just sit there and do nothing.
I like that.
He'll talk and he'll keep everyone totally amused and they'll all have a wonderful time and you don't have to do any work because he does it all.
Well, that's the thing, but you're the same as well, Wayne. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about this. It's just because we're bored, probably, and there's not much to talk about in the markets today. But when I talk to you and when I talk to Wayne, even if I'm distracted and I'm doing something else, or if I'm tired or whatever it is, I just ask generic questions, and you go off.
And then we can waffle on.
It's not waffling at all. It's really relevant stuff. But other people you have to really concentrate on. But you and David Shapiro, I can just ask a question. And then I could go to the bathroom. I could go for a quick walk around the flat and come back. And you'll still
be
talking.
Still be there.
Yeah, you'll still be there.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Ned. Now, my son, he did a couple of This is a few years ago now, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He started giving presentations around the country and talking to clients and all of this.
Yes.
And of course, he was, you know, out of university, just in his job. So he asked for some advice. So I said to him, listen, don't worry too much about it. You're only nervous the first 600 times. After that, it's easy.
Yeah. Presentations are my nemesis. Wayne, while we're on the subject, we haven't spoken about food for quite a while. Are things open in Johannesburg? Mm. Are restaurants still open?
Restaurants are open, yes. So the ones that have survived are open. So one of my favorite restaurants, which was just down the road from where I stay, that went by the nickname of The Dive.
Yes.
Because it was a little bit of a dive, but the food was fantastic. They've never reopened, unfortunately. It's terribly sad. Yeah. A couple of other restaurants that have opened with very limited menus. Mm. So I went to a very fancy restaurant to specifically have one meal.
What was
it? And they were open. It was a rare roast beef with a dunking sauce with beautiful brioche French bread. So I went there anticipating this, you know, salivating around this. And then they gave me this sort of like one-page laminated menu.
Mm.
So I had a hamburger.
Yeah.
It was a very nice hamburger.
Yeah.
But it was a hamburger.
I had the same experience in London at a very, very famous and probably the oldest seafood restaurant in London. I went there and I thought, this is fantastic, and I'll book for 12 o'clock so I can get there early before the crowd arrives. There was no crowd. There was nothing. And they gave me exactly the same thing. They gave me a piece of paper and it said fish and chips, mushy peas, and something else. Yeah, I love mushy peas. But anyway, the point was,
that's one thing. I can't do the mushies.
Why?
No. Look, I don't like peas at the best of times, but the mushies, no. I think that's a very pommy thing that I can't do the mushy. But the one thing nice about London, even though I have not been there for a very long time now, you know, probably a good 4 years, I suppose, maybe even a bit longer.
Yes.
But you could go to, let's say, the area of London I knew best was London Bridge area.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think it's all been knocked down now, but they used to have those railway arches, and under the railway arches, they used to have restaurants. And you could go to virtually any of those restaurants.
Yes.
And the price for the UK was reasonable, and you got fantastic food.
Did you ever go to one of those pie and mash shops? Did you ever go to one of those East End, under the arches, pie and mash shops where you would get a really fantastic steak and kidney pie, but with the mushy peas, but you would obviously not, or you call them mushies, but you'd get mashed potato and pies and lots of gravy.
Yeah.
I crave that.
The best pie I've ever had.
Mm.
I love steak and kidney pies, but the best pie I ever had was in London.
Yes.
And it was a steak and Guinness pie.
Oh, my goodness.
It was delicious. Also, with some mashed potato on the side. But, you know, if you go to those archways, and look, as I said, this is 4 years ago now, you could get a very nice main course for £11-12,
which
in the scheme of things for London is not bad.
That's just unbelievable. You're paying £11-12 for a glass and a half of wine these days. So a main course. No, very good.
I went out to a very fancy restaurant this weekend in Bryanston for a change, and the food is fantastic. The ambiance is lovely. The setting's great.
Mm.
But I'm not really a fancy restaurant person. I like a little bit downbeat, little, you know, bit frayed on the edges, but normally the food there is fantastic.
You're a man of the people, let's face it. You're an earthy person.
I'll go to this fancy place, and I ordered my favorite meal there, which was the main reason why I went there, is they do a beef Wellington.
Yes.
And they do it with the most delicious gravy, with Italian ham on the inside and exotic mushrooms all within the beef Wellington pie.
Oh, God.
And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. But, you know, that was £12.
Yes. So that's how much is that? 250 rand?
250 Rand, yeah. 230 Rand, 250 Rand, somewhere around there.
Gosh.
It's worth it, but you only do that once a year.
Yes.
You know, you'd rather go, well, when the dive was still open, they served the steak and kidney pie there. They cut up the steak and the kidney into very small pieces. They cooked it in a big bowl.
Right.
Where you put the crust over the top of the bowl and then you bake it like that. And it was too delicious for words. You couldn't finish it, and that was 90 Rand.
Not bad.
But unfortunately, as I said, the dive didn't make it.
Well, maybe the dive would be
resuscitated. What was interesting in the dive is that, yeah, what was interesting about the dive as well is on Thursday nights they had karaoke evenings. And it was fun. There were lots of, this is not
pre-COVID. No, I have to stop you there. The karaoke is not fun. Karaoke is stupid. But anyway, you did.
No, I didn't sing.
Thank God.
I didn't sing. But hell no, I would never do that. That's not me at all.
Yeah.
But the reason why I say it was fun, there were lots of people there and there was a nice vibe going and place was packed. Now, this was during the Eskom load shedding at the beginning of the year. And they had a very small portable generator that they bought from Builder's Warehouse to power up their systems when the Eskom went down.
Yeah.
And it obviously didn't do too well because they could only power the karaoke machine if they turned all the lights off because there wasn't enough electricity from the generator to power the karaoke machine and have lights and cook.
Yes.
So then you'd be sitting there and Eskom will come back on, okay?
Right.
And then they'll power up the karaoke machine and then halfway through a song, the lights would go down, and then someone had to run outside and manually start the generator. So you'd have people singing karaoke there, let's say, Lady In, and then the power would go off, and then 4 minutes later, the power would come back on, but they'll just carry on, Ready's dancing with me.
Please, you said you wouldn't sing.
It was really interesting.
You said you wouldn't sing, but anyway, carry on.
Enough. But I'm just saying that it was a fantastic place, because literally, in the 5 minutes that it took to get the generator going after Eskom cut the power, the karaoke people didn't bother. They just stood there for 5 minutes and carried on singing when the generator came back on again. And but as I said, it unfortunately hasn't not reopened. So restaurants are open now. I mean, as I'm sure you know,
yes.
Can't serve alcohol anymore.
That's a problem.
So that started, when was it? End of December.
Wayne, I don't know.
Extended.
I can't even remember what we talked about with the markets earlier on because I got so fascinated by your carry-on karaoke stories and your steak and kidney pie.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry now. I just have to go out and find a steak and kidney pie. But there
are hungry,
no,
I must say.
There are no restaurants open in the Netherlands, and there won't be for another 6 or 7 weeks. So I'm just going to have to go to a shop and buy something and stick it in the oven. But thank you very much for your time this evening. As I said, I don't know what we spoke about, but it was very entertaining. That's Wayne McCurry, who's a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.